Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, October 18th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
stocks extend yesterday's rally on Wall Street.
Goldman Sachs wraps up bank earnings.
Liz Truss apologizes but vows to stay on as UK Prime Minister.
And the White House could release more oil from its emergency stockpile.
It was debate night in several key races. Plus, a new policy from the New York Sanitation Department is making the rats say, oh, rats. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees and Guardians were rained out. They'll play Game 5 at 4 o'clock today. The Rangers beat the Ducks. The Chargers beat the Broncos.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at seic.com/tech.
And futures are higher this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 50 points. Dow futures up 315. NASDAQ futures up 185. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 4.02%. And the yield on the 2-year, 4.44%. And NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.3% at $85.21 a barrel. Nathan.
Well, Karen, the rise in futures follows yesterday's powerful rally on Wall Street. The S&P 500 gained 2.7%, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ surged 3.4%. David Dietz, senior investment strategist at PPAC Private Wealth, says it was only a matter of time for a bounce.
We don't know whether we've seen the bottom in this cyclical downturn, but we do know that the conditions are primed for better returns going forward. I mean, we start with the fact that we're down 25% year-to-date on the broad market, 35% on the NASDAQ. That alone should whet the appetite of all bargain hunters.
David Dietz at PPAC Private Wealth notes the S&P 500 closed above a key technical support level yesterday.
Still, Nathan, stocks have further room to fall. That's according to the latest fund manager survey from Bank of America. The respondents expect stocks to bottom in the first half of next year after the Fed finally pivots away from hiking rates. Right now, according to the survey, investors have 6.3% of their portfolios in cash. That's the highest level since April of 2001. 49% of participants are underweight equities.
In Europe today, Karen, we are hearing from Liz Truss. The UK Prime Minister says she's sorry for going too far too fast after her new chancellor gutted most of her economic plan.
We have made mistakes. I'm sorry for those mistakes, but I've fixed the mistakes. I've appointed a new chancellor. We have restored economic stability and fiscal discipline. And what I now want to do is go on and deliver for the public.
Prime Minister Liz Truss made the comments in an interview with the BBC. One other note this morning, the Financial Times is reporting the Bank of England will likely delay its planned sale of government bonds on October 31st, but the Bank of England is refuting that report.
Well, back here in the U.S., Nathan, we wrap up earnings from the big banks today with Goldman Sachs reporting this morning. And here with the preview is Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Goldman's revenue and profit were boosted by investment gains in the third quarter last year. Bloomberg Intelligence expects to hear that the numbers were lower in the just-ended quarter, which saw a slide in banking fees and a stock market performance that likely weighed on its asset management business. Investors will be interested in what executives have to say about the future. Bloomberg reported last month that Goldman was beginning the biggest round of job cuts since the start of the pandemic. And just yesterday, Wells Fargo analyst Mike Mayo said Goldman is planning a major reorganization. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. Goldman's earnings come a day after Bank of America reported its highest quarterly net interest income in at least a decade. We caught up with CEO Brian Moynihan, who says the U.S. consumer is still spending.
Their credit quality and the credit quality of Bank of America in our consumer books is very strong across the board. The payment delinquencies are much lower than they were pre-pandemic, much lower than they were in any average five best year type period. And yes, they moved a little bit off the floor, but they're still much lower than they've been. So consumers are spending, they have money, they're employed, you can see the unemployment numbers, and they have good credit.
Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's David Westin.
Meantime, Nathan, we're seeing many companies try to diversify their leadership ranks, but that effort could be getting harder as women leave top-tier jobs at higher rates than ever before. A report from McKinsey and LeanIn.org finds that for every woman who gets promoted at the director level, two women choose to leave. A lack of affordable child care is part of the reason. Also, a gender pay gap that had been narrowing before the pandemic is now stalling.
Well, let's turn to Washington now, Karen. The White House is watching energy prices closely, and we're told the Biden administration's making moves to ensure the price of gas doesn't go even higher. Amy Morris has the details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Energy Department officials have been quietly meeting this week with oil companies to let them know what to expect. Sources tell Bloomberg News officials are prepared to release up to 15 million barrels of oil from the nation's emergency stockpile to keep prices steady. We also expect to hear plans from the Biden administration this week about how to replenish that stockpile. Also, the administration is looking at limiting fuel exports to keep more gasoline and diesel inside the U.S., a more dramatic step that sources say would not happen before the midterms. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Amy, thanks. And checking oil prices now, NYMEX crude's dropping a bit, down 0.2% at $85.29 a barrel. Brent is down 0.1% at $91.49.
Well, on the geopolitical stage this morning, Nathan, China and Taiwan are in focus. The U.S. says Beijing can move to seize Taiwan on a much faster timeline than previously thought. And Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is responding to Xi Jinping's address to the People's Congress over the weekend. Blinken says there's been a change in the approach over the past several years toward Taiwan, but says now China's made a fundamental decision that the status quo is no longer acceptable and that Beijing is determined to pursue reunification on a much faster timeline. Having said that, Blinken says there's eagerness to cooperate on share interest, given that Xi will be serving a third term. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ed Baxter, thank you. S&P futures right now are up 49 points. Dow futures up 317. NASDAQ futures are higher by 186 points. 10-year treasuries down 1/32. The yield 4.01%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 6:07 on Wall Street. Now we are at 50 degrees in Central Park. Got a crash northbound Bronx River Parkway. It's closed at Allerton Avenue. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York City announced a new policy meant to keep the streets cleaner and free of rats. With trash bags piled on the curbs at night, there are new rules on when you can take out the garbage. Sanitation Commissioner Jessica Tisch.
The biggest swing that you can take at cleaning up our streets is to shut down the all-night, all-you-can-eat rat buffet. I want to be clear. The rats are absolutely going to hate this announcement.
Sanitation Commissioner Tisch said buildings can put their trash out no earlier than 8 p.m. and there will be more collections overnight. New York City arts organizations, including the Metropolitan Opera and Carnegie Hall, announced that they will make face masks optional beginning October 24th as COVID-19 cases continue to decline across the area. The group added that it will continue to encourage the practice of masking and vaccinations, which also remain optional. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp faced Democratic challenger Stacey Abrams and Libertarian candidate Shane Hazel for a televised debate sponsored by the Atlanta Press Club. Abrams speaking last night.
As governor, I intend to stand up for the right to vote. I will always acknowledge the outcome of elections, but I will never deny access to every voter because that is the responsibility of every American to defend the right to vote.
Kemp responded to Abrams' accusations of voter suppression during his time as governor.
I'm the person that created the online voter registration system in this state where any Georgian can vote, register to vote 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Abrams lost to Kemp when they first ran against each other in the 2018 race for governor. Democratic Representative Tim Ryan and Republican J.D. Vance met for their second debate to replace retiring Ohio Republican Senator Rob Portman. On NBC's WFMJ-TV, Vance accused Ryan of voting for tax increases and criticized his support for the Inflation Reduction Act.
It raises taxes by $20 billion on working people in this state and in this country, and then it seeks 87,000 IRS agents to go after them.
Ryan replied to Vance's accusing him of being a follower of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
You keep talking about Nancy Pelosi. If you want to run against Nancy Pelosi, move back to San Francisco and run against Nancy Pelosi. You're running against me.
Polls project the race as a virtual tie. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, second time in this series where the Yankees and Guardians have been rained out at the stadium. Unlike last week when the game was called early in the afternoon. The fans were there last night, but at 9:30 they called it. So game five is at 4 o'clock today. And with the day off, the Yankees are changing starting pitchers. Out is Jameson Taillon and in is Nestor Cortes, pitching on 3 days rest. The Guardians could do likewise with Shane Bieber. He was the Cy Young winner just 2 years ago, but they say they are sticking with Aaron Civale. The winner today, quickly off to Houston for game one of the ALCS. Tomorrow, the surprising NLCS, Phillies and Padres starting tonight in San Diego. Two teams who failed to win 90 games to decide the pennant after three NL teams that won over 100 games, including the Mets, were ousted. Week six wrapped up. AFC West game in L.A. went overtime. Chargers beat the Broncos 19-16. Third straight win for L.A. Denver now 2-4. And the Red Hot Jets visit the Broncos on Sunday. Only one AFC team has a better record than the Jets. At the Garden, Rangers and Ducks. Good start for the Blue Shirts, especially with the man advantage.
But Aaron, stick handling. Backs it up. Looks towards the net. Down low. Krocek across. Vanderjagt shoots. He scores! It was Zibanejad setting up Trocheck for the first power play goal. This time, Trocheck to Zibanejad. 2-0 Rangers.
98-70 ESPN had the call. Later, Zibanejad scored another power play goal. Rangers beat Anaheim 6-4. They're 3-1. NBA season tipping off tonight. A couple of games. Knicks and Nets get going tomorrow. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. S&P futures right now up 46 points. Dow futures up 295. NASDAQ futures up 173 points. We'll talk about this market next with HSBC Chief Multi-Asset Strategist Max Kedner. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather clearing cooler today. Highs in the upper 50s. Sunny mid-50s tomorrow. Might hit 60 by Thursday. Right now it's 50 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are higher this morning, but S&P futures up 50 points, Dow futures up 329, and NASDAQ futures up 184. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury that'll change yields 4.01%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.44%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1% or 11 cents at $85.35 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $6 at $16.58.30 an ounce. Euro 0.9843 against the dollar. British pound 1.1288. The yen 149.06. And Intel's Mobileye says it sees its IPO to price between $18 and $20 per share, according to a filing. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Ukrainian President Zelensky says his country needs more help to defend itself from the Iranian-made so-called kamikaze drones the Russian army has been using to attack civilian infrastructure. At least eight people were killed during yesterday's strikes. A suspected serial killer in Stockton, California is scheduled to be arraigned today. Authorities say 43-year-old Wesley Brownlee is accused of terrorizing the community for months, hunting for his victims and often waiting in the dark. In baseball, the Yankees and Guardians will play their deciding Game 5 of their ALDS this afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Rain postponed last night's game. Monday Night Football, the Chargers beat the Broncos in overtime 19-16. In hockey, the Rangers, Bruins, and Capitals all won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined now by Max Kedner, Chief Multi-Asset Strategist at HSBC. Great to speak with you this morning, Max, as we watch futures continue to rise following yesterday's bounce on Wall Street. Is there room for this rally to run, or are you fading this one?
Yeah, good morning. So I think I would be very, very definitely fading this one. I think there's quite a distinct lack of pass-through, really, and then follow-through if you look at the cross asset picture, really, because yeah, equities are up, credit spreads are a bit tighter, fine. But actually, what the market and what the equity market has played in particular yesterday and this morning is much rather this sort of return to Goldilocks, the hopes for a pivot again. But the difference to what we've seen perhaps in June, July, August was that this was based on lower real yields, right? And it was sort of lifting all boats. It led to a temporary reprieve in the yen. It led to, you know, led to gold spiking temporarily. All of that is missing right now, right? The yen isn't moving at all. Gold is sort of here or there, right? It's fairly flat. Actually, real rates, if we look at long-dated real rates in the U.S., again, they're pretty flat, right? They've been pretty flat in the last couple of days. So it's really just the equity market playing a lot of hope, perhaps around, you know, the news out of the U.K. yesterday. That's all good for temporary relief rallies. But in terms of if you have a 3 to 6 month view, I would be definitely fading this one.
Now, since you mentioned the news out of the UK and the, I guess, would you call it a pivot away from Trustonomics? You see that as temporary? I mean, what would it take for you to have a little bit more stability sensing coming out of the UK situation?
Yeah, I guess the near-term volatility is extremely high in the UK, right? And then we just don't really have a handle on all these political decisions, whether she's going to remain prime minister or not, or, you know, whether there's going to be people, members of the government resigning, what kind of pressure that will put on. This is all sort of the political speculation that will put volatility really, really still high for the pound and for gilts. Now, funnily enough, actually, UK equities, if you look at the large caps, so the FTSE 100, have been pretty okay during this period, and they've been pretty okay actually year to date, because of course we know there's value in the market, right? This is a more of a value market, it's more of a defensive market, and of course it benefits from that lower sterling. So funnily enough, actually UK equities, the large caps from a global perspective, look pretty okay. But until we can really sort of sound the all clear on gilts, on pound sterling, I think we will need to not only see less noise on the political front, but we'd also need to see, you know, more convincing news on the structural front. Because let's remember that among sort of G10 currencies, the pound in the UK is probably facing the least favorable debt dynamics this year and next year. And that is, you know, that's the much more important one from a, let's say, a 3 to 6 month perspective, if you look at the pound, disregarding really the political volatility.
Turning back to the U.S. market, we got the latest monthly fund manager survey from Bank of America thinking that we might not see bottom here on Wall Street until sometime in the first half of next year when the Fed finally starts to pivot. When are you thinking the Fed pivots, if not from higher interest rates to at least slowing down the increases?
Yeah, but the funny thing is everyone talks about a pivot. So far, everything we've seen was a pivot higher, right? So far, the actual funny thing is that whenever we were talking about a pivot, it was like, well, maybe Fed funds is going to peak at 3. Oh, and now it's 3.5. Now it's 4.5. But the point for me is that the Fed is really only going to pivot, in my view, when things are going to go horribly wrong. Not just wrong, but really, and I have to emphasize that, horribly wrong, right? So it will not be sufficient if we see 1, 2, 3 months of a bit worse than economic data, right? And, oh, maybe we're going to go into recession now. That will not be sufficient, right? It will only really pivot, and it will only really start to cut rates if we see an aggressive downward drift in activity data. And that, of course, is not good for risk assets either, which means to me, I think the bottom really only is in for equities if we're starting to see the correlation between equities and rates go negative again, i.e. when people really start to become genuinely concerned about a recession.
Just 30 seconds left here. What is your bottom? Where do you see the S&P going?
So on our forecast for end of this year, 3,500. But we have said we could reach as low as 3,200, because that would put us with a bit more valuation pressure still. It would mean that, you know, we're probably going to start to close this gap that exists between long-dated real rates and valuations right now. So to us, there is as much scope as to sort of 3,200. That
okay.
is the buying territory.
And, of course, we did close higher yesterday at 36.77. Thanks for this, Max. Great having you on with us this morning. Max Kettner, Chief Multi-Asset Strategist at HSBC. Futures this morning moving higher once again with S&P futures up 54 points, Dow futures up 355, NASDAQ futures up 196 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather clearing, cooler today with highs in the upper 50s, sunny mid 50s for tomorrow, sunshine upper 50s for Thursday. Right now it's 50 degrees and cloudy in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get to the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 3.58% to 4.58%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, U.S. futures are rising, adding to yesterday's big rally. Still expect more volatility ahead. That's according to Samir Samana with Wells Fargo.
What I'd really like to see is for this market to try and find kind of a bottom. And from that standpoint, just maybe even trade sideways for a few days. I think these, you know, constant 2 to 3% up and down days, I think, are going to continue to spook investors. I think maybe the best course of action for markets from here, given what the Fed's trying to engineer, is just to go sideways for a few days.
Wells Fargo's Samir Samana says daily swings of 2 to 3% indicate fragility in the market.
Overseas, Karen, the UK government's trying to continue calming markets after a tough first month for Liz Truss. The new prime minister tells the BBC she is sorry for going too far too fast with her economic plan.
We have made mistakes. I'm sorry for those mistakes, but I've fixed the mistakes. I've appointed a new chancellor. We have restored economic stability and fiscal discipline. And what I now want to do is go on and deliver for the public.
Liz Truss says she plans to continue serving as prime minister.
And back here in the U.S., big banks wrap up earnings with Goldman Sachs reporting this morning. Then it's big tech in focus this afternoon with Netflix reporting, and Bloomberg's Tom Busby has a preview.
The key for the streaming video pioneer, which just announced the debut of a cheaper ad-supported version on November 2nd, is whether it returned to subscriber growth thanks to hits like Squid Game, Inventing Anna, and Dahmer after shedding a ton of subscribers in the first half of this year. Estimates call for 1 million more paying customers added in the third quarter, led by additions in the Asia-Pacific and Latin America regions, and on a crackdown in password sharing. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. And we did get earnings from Johnson & Johnson and cut its sales guidance for the full year. Still profit in the quarter, beat analyst estimates, and shares are higher in early trading.
And to politics now, Karen, the White House is watching energy prices closely. Sources tell us the Biden administration is preparing to release up to 15 million barrels from the nation's emergency oil stockpile. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude is lower by 0.25% at $85.25 a barrel.
And in geopolitics, Nathan, China and Taiwan in focus. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says Beijing is making plans to seize Taiwan on a faster timeline than previously thought. That assessment comes as China holds its Communist Party Congress this week. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers.
Thanks, Karen. It's now 6:33 on Wall Street. We're 50 degrees in Central Park. Northbound Bronx River Parkway still closed at Allerton Avenue. And Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Rat complaints in New York City are up 71% in the last year. City officials are now changing garbage collection rules. Instead of being allowed to pile trash bags on curbs the day before pickup, people will have to put out the trash no earlier than 8 p.m. New York Sanitation Commissioner Jessica Tisch.
Why have we tolerated this for so long? Over the last 6 months, the Department of Sanitation has reoriented itself around one goal, getting our streets cleaner faster.
Commissioner Tisch says the rats are absolutely going to hate this announcement. Democratic Representative Tim Ryan and Republican J.D. Vance met for their second debate as the two vie for replacing retiring Ohio Republican Senator Rob Portman. On NBC's WFMJ-TV, Vance said he supports GOP Senator Lindsey Graham's bill for a national ban on abortion after 4 weeks of pregnancy.
If you can't support legislation like that, you are making the United States the most barbaric pro-abortion regime anywhere in the entire world.
Ryan said Vance became subservient to former President Trump to gain his endorsement after Trump insulted him publicly.
If you think you're going to help Ohio, you're not. If you can't even stand up for yourself, how are you going to stand up for the people of the state? How are you going to take on the corporate interests?
Polls project the race as a virtual tie. Georgia Republican Governor Brian Kemp and Democrat Stacey Abrams clashed in their first of two debates of their closely watched rematch. Kemp tied Abrams with President Biden and the nation's economic woes.
My desire is to continue to help them fight through 40-year high inflation and high gas prices and other things that our Georgia families are facing right now, quite honestly, because of bad policies in Washington, D.C., from President Biden and the Democrats that have complete control.
Abrams criticized Kemp for backing tougher anti-abortion restrictions and looser gun laws.
He has weakened gun laws and flooded our streets. He has weakened our privacy rights and women's rights. He has denied women the access to reproductive care.
In 2018, Abrams came close to winning the governor's race against Kemp. The State Department says the U.S. will take action against companies and nations working with Iran's drone program after Russia used them for deadly kamikaze strikes in Kyiv. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barn. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:36 on Wall Street, and John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, the Yankees and Guardians and a sellout crowd all at the stadium last night for a 7 o'clock start, but at 9:30, the rain had not stopped, and the decisive Game 5 was postponed to 4 o'clock today. Aaron Boone was asked about playing a do-or-die game.
To this time of year, you're playing for, there's a ton on the line, and you're playing for it, and hopefully, you know, you find that awesome. You know, and I think our guys do realize that that's a great opportunity. With that comes some nerves and things you got to deal with.
Boone is changing his starting pitcher. Now that Nestor Cortez has 3 days rest, he'll start, not Jameson Taillon. The Guardians say they are sticking with Aaron Civale instead of using Shane Bieber. It's the NLCS that no one expected. The Phillies finished in third place in the NL East. They were the last team to get in. The Padres had to beat two 100-plus win teams. They didn't even win 90, and yet it's the Phillies and Padres. Game one tonight in San Diego. Another NFL primetime game without a lot of touchdowns. Chargers and Broncos both scored one, combined for 7 field goals. L.A. kicked one late in overtime after Denver fumbled a punt. The Chargers won 19-16. The Cowboys and Dolphins both expect to get their starting quarterbacks back Sunday. Dak Prescott from the thumb injury, Tua Tagovailoa from the concussion. Washington QB Carson Wentz has a broken finger. He's going to miss the next 4 to 6 weeks. At the Garden, Rangers went to 3-1. They beat Anaheim 6-4. 2 goals for Mika Zibanejad, both on the power play. Artemi Panarin, a goal, 3 assists. It's early in the year, but Panarin leads the NHL in scoring. NBA season tips off tonight. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. A big mover to watch for Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta this morning in the pharma space.
Yeah, we start off with Johnson & Johnson. They just came out with the earnings here. Shares are popping up about 2% in the pre-market. J&J is your ticker. They are, however, cutting their sales forecast. They actually missed their estimates. And on top of that, kind of reported a 40 to 50 cent headwind for FX on their adjusted EPS in 2023. Nathan, this does not sound like good news by any measure. So why is the stock up? And I'm just running through some of these numbers here, and it kind of looks like there is some bullishness on some of the drugs that they're actually looking to pursue, some of the R&D costs as well. So we're going to keep you updated on all the headlines coming out of their earnings call as we get more of them. Another one I really want to keep an eye on is some of those tech stocks, Nathan, because it looks like we have another potential rally on our hands. I mean, it is early. We have about 3 hours to go before the U.S. Open. But a lot of those tech stocks are kind of rocking and rolling the way they did yesterday. Take a look at Apple shares, for example. AAPL is your ticker, up 1.5% in the pre-market. NVIDIA, not far behind. NVDA, up 2.6%. And remember, I love to look at those chip stocks because they're kind of a magnifying glass to whatever happens in the tech space, or the big tech space, I should say. So Microsoft, not far behind as well. MSFT, actually one of your biggest volume movers this morning, up about 2%. And like I said, those chip stocks, you cannot forget them. AMD, Intel, both up just shy of about 2%, Nathan.
Yeah, we'll see if that tech sentiment holds up once Netflix reports earnings after the bell, but we'll save that for later. I see you're watching big retail as well.
We absolutely have to. Target is top of mind here. TGT, some good news coming out of Target. It's had a rough couple of months with the inventory buildup that a lot of people have said, well, you know what, this just makes it an unconvincing buy. That being said, it was upgraded to a buy from a hold over at Jefferies, saying that the combination of a subdued valuation, that is fancy talk for the fact that there's been so much selling pressure, also talking about improvements in the supply chain and inventory positioning, it says, well, that they're making them bullish. What's interesting to me, though, is they said the subdued valuation, which basically means that the market has sold it off so much, it's really, really cheap to buy right now. So that one doing really well. I'll leave you with one last one. Fubo TV, FUBO, shares up about 10%. Analysts saying that the firm's decision to end operations of its Fubo Sportsbook betting unit will help its bottom line.
All right. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta watching those early morning movers for us and checking stocks as a whole, as Kriti alluded to. We've got a rally going on this morning led by tech. NASDAQ futures up 1.9%, a gain of 208 points. S&P futures are up 59 points. That's a gain of 1.6%. And Dow futures right now up 412 points for a gain of 1.4%. 10-year treasuries up 1/32. The yield, 4%. On the nose. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, clearing, cooler today, upper 50s for highs. Sunny mid 50s tomorrow. Sunshine Thursday as well with upper 50s expected highs. Right now it is 50 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are rising this morning, and we go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures with a bid right now. Dow futures up 385 points. S&P's gained 55, and NASDAQ futures are up by 194. The U.S. 10-year yield at 4.01%. Gold is up 2. Oil is in the red, and Bitcoin is trading little changed. Japan rose 1.4% overnight, while European markets are also trading in the green. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, the NHB Housing Market Index. Regarding earnings this morning, J&J beat estimates, but Hasbro EPS missed. And look for Goldman Sachs to report around 7:30. Wrapping things up, Target was upgraded to buy over at Jefferies. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Airstrikes have again pounded energy and infrastructure facilities in Ukraine, part of an apparent quickening effort by Russia to drive Ukrainians into the cold and dark. One mayor west of the capital said all of the city was without electricity and water after a double missile strike today. The Biden administration's online portal for its student loan debt forgiveness program is now live at studentaid.gov. Millions of eligible borrowers can have thousands of dollars in loans canceled if they apply by the end of next year. In baseball, after last night's rainout, the Yankees and Guardians will play their deciding Game 5 of their ALDS this afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Monday Night Football, the Chargers beat the Broncos in OT, 19-16. In hockey, the Rangers, Bruins, and Capitals all won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
Mary McElbar, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street, and we turn to news in science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes transferring easy. Leverage your associate's degree into a STEM-focused bachelor's. Learn more at njit.edu/transfer. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. There are signs that chip supply crunch is easing. Delivery time shrank by 4 days in September, and that's the biggest drop in years. According to research firm by Susquehanna Financial Group, lead times, the gap between when a chip is ordered and when it's delivered, averaged 26.3 weeks in the period. That compares to nearly 27 weeks the prior month. Wait times contracted for all key product categories, with power management and analog chips seeing the biggest declines. The nation's first tax on digital advertising has been struck down as unconstitutional by a Maryland judge. It's a law that attorneys for big tech have contended unfairly targets companies like Facebook, Google, and Amazon. The state estimated the tax on digital advertising could raise about $250 million a year to help pay for education measures. And revenue generated from sports gambling in New Jersey was up 7% in September. Internet gambling brought in over $135 million in September, and that's an increase of over 10% from a year ago. That's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Thank you, Karen. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include a planned oil reserve announcement this week from the White House, an unpopular President Biden avoiding the midterm travel strategy of his predecessors, and tax breaks for kids and companies suddenly brewing on Capitol Hill. Let's bring in Joe Matthew to talk more about some of these stories, our Washington correspondent, host of Sound On here on Bloomberg Radio. Joe, great to speak with you as always, especially about some nice reporting from our D.C. team that another strategic reserve release could be coming in days.
Yeah, it would be the last tranche, as we like to say, in what was a 180 million barrel withdrawal that started back in May. Remember, this has been kind of a rolling program here, Nathan, a million barrels a week. And this last 14 million barrels would, at least in the eyes of the White House, potentially lower prices just in time for the midterm elections. But at the same time, they're looking at this reserve here, Nathan, and it's just about half full at this point, according to Jared Bernstein, the National Economic Council member who was talking about this over the weekend. But the fact of the matter is, it is the lowest inventory of diesel here as since we have first started compiling this data in 1982. So there are some worries, particularly about heating oil as we head into winter.
Yeah, and it's something that the White House has been facing a number of questions from, especially from Bloomberg News as well. But as you mentioned, this is coming just 3 weeks before a midterm election, and you drive by some of these gas stations, and yeah, these prices are starting to creep back up again.
It's been creeping back up toward $4 a barrel, or a gallon, I should say, on a national level here, and the timing is not good, as we've seen reflected in the polls. It's been a remarkable connection between Joe Biden's approval ratings and the price of gasoline. And just yesterday, we were talking about a couple of new polls, New York Times, CBS, showing the kind of momentum that Democrats had coming out of the Supreme Court ruling on Roe v. Wade, really diminishing. And in some cases, all of that progress disappearing in terms of the poll standing today. We have 3 weeks, by the way, from this day, Nathan. And the idea is to try to get back to some of those higher polling numbers we saw last summer.
Does this raise some question about whether this rough relationship that we're starting to see now between the Biden administration and Saudi Arabia is kind of coming at a really difficult time politically?
Well, it is. And, you know, we've heard repeatedly from the White House that they're not really going to deal with that until after the midterm. So you have to picture the administration sitting there at 1600 feeling like, you know what, we're on our own here. Republicans are dinging us on inflation and high gas prices. Saudi Arabia is no longer a factor. We even made some phone calls to Venezuela. So here we are with 14 million more barrels. Let's get them into the system and see if it makes an impact. They're also talking, Nathan, and this is a slightly separate conversation, about export controls. There is not unanimity inside the administration on this. In fact, they're arguing about what impact it might have. That's a decision also that would follow the midterm. So this may be the last shot the White House gets.
And speaking of feeling like they're on their own, maybe there's some evidence that President Biden's starting to feel that way politically with his own Democrats when you look at his travel schedule this time of the election cycle.
Yeah, these can be lonely days for the incumbent. And you look, it's not unusual. We had a similar conversation about Donald Trump. We did about Barack Obama. We did about George W. Bush. But this is even less, travel for Joe Biden, who has been out there, Nathan. He was in California last week. He's going to be going to Pennsylvania a bit later on this week. But if you look at his schedule, it does not look like someone who's in the run-up to a major midterm election here. And look, it's not a mystery as to why he will be a liability for a lot of candidates. In some cases, he's a help, and he shows up in those areas. He's sure hoping to help John Fetterman in a very tight race in Pennsylvania this week. But there are other places like Georgia, for instance, like Ohio, where just showing up might actually hurt the Democrat who's running there. And lo and behold, who is going to be hitting the road? Barack Obama. He'll be in Georgia and a couple of other swing states at the end of this month.
Yeah, interesting. How does the president's travel schedule compare to his predecessors at this time? Did they tend to be in battleground states at this point in the cycle?
Yeah, look, it is lighter than his two immediate predecessors at the same point in their campaign. But and they were doing some travel. But, you know, this became an issue for both Trump and Obama in the midterm elections. You remember coming off of the health care debate, the Obamacare debate. It was better for him to stay home in some cases to actually help the Democrat. Joe Biden made a joke the other day about Chris Van Hollen in Maryland saying, you know, I'll come run for you or against you, whichever one helps.
Yeah, I remember that. Got about a minute left here, Joe. After the midterms, tax breaks coming back on Capitol Hill.
This?
What's this about?
This is, you know, I'm not sure what to make of this. It's just going to really depend on the outcome of the midterms. But some great reporting by Laura Davison, who does such a good job for us when it comes to the tax story on Capitol Hill. Look, there are a couple of things that never got done on both sides, for Democrats, for Republicans, over the course of this legislative year. One of the biggest ones is the enhanced child tax credit. Remember, that was a huge priority for Democrats, and it was never included in what would have been its last opportunity in the Inflation Reduction Act. Republicans, meantime, want to cut some taxes for corporations, for research and development, some other items here, not just an across-the-board tax cut, but some very specific areas where they think they could help. If we come out of the midterms in a similarly divided Congress, even if, say, Republicans take the House, but if the numbers are still tight, you could see some compromise here. If there's a blowout for Republicans, though, Nathan, I would not be looking for any extended child tax credit. And I'll remind everyone, with the government set to run out of money on December 16th, and we're going to have another argument about how to fund the government and what it will look like going into the new year. The result of this midterm election will dictate the outcome of that debate.
Yeah, a debate that we keep seeing rear its head over and over again in Washington. As always, thanks for joining us. Joe Matthew, host of Sound on Bloomberg Radio, which you can catch every weekday afternoon, 5 p.m. Wall Street time across Bloomberg Radio. And read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Ahead of the market open, futures are moving higher after yesterday's rally. We could be building on it today with S&P futures up 49 points, Dow futures up 333, NASDAQ futures are higher by 175 points. 10-year Treasury, little change now with the yield at 4%, yield on the two-year 4.45%. Bloomberg Surveillance is next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.